This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
The scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Psalm 1, found on page 602 in your pew Bible. Please read along with me. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
As Warren did the math earlier, it is 150 years ago this week that the first Memorial Day, they called it Decoration Day at the time, was observed to decorate the graves of soldiers who had died in the Civil War. That Decoration Day, that represented a change in the way that war memorials were done. Previous monuments to war had been set up for great generals and kings and presidents and the victories that the armies had won. And there was a new focus after the American Civil War on the everyday soldiers, the ones who actually had done the fighting and the dying. I think that shift may have come out perhaps because the Civil War was so much more pervasive than some previous conflicts, not just in the nation's history, but in the wider history of the world. There were more casualties, as we know well, in the Civil War than there had been in all other U.S. wars, at least up until the time of Vietnam. And that's cumulative, total casualties in all other wars. The Civil War, of course, was also fought much closer to home than most other American wars had been, and so families were more able to remember very specific soldiers, specific individuals who had gone to fight and had not come home. It was also a war in which technology outstripped the tactics that were available to the military commanders, and so casualties accumulated during this war at rates that were previously unknown. And after the war, there came a need to have a monument not even just to all of the individual soldiers who could be identified and interred properly, but there were also monuments, one in particular, to the unidentified dead of the Civil War. It's not the one on the screen, but it is also at Arlington Cemetery. It's a single monument that contained the bones of over 2,000 soldiers from the First and Second Battles of Bull Run. And then it was 56 years later, after that monument was installed, another monument, the one that is pictured, was established as a monument to unknown soldiers from another war that ended 100 years ago this November. If we thought the casualties from the Civil War were awful, the casualties from World War I were completely unimaginable. 18 million deaths in Europe and beyond. World War I took place at that same deadly confluence of really far advanced technology relative to the tactics that were available to the commanders on the battlefield. And so the trench warfare and the scale of the fighting in World War I meant that there were many, many soldiers who could not possibly have their remains identified. And furthermore, it was impractical to return the soldiers who had died. It was impractical to return their remains to their home countries, including the United States. And so this monument, the Tomb of the Unknowns, it contains the remains of one representative soldier from World War I who takes the place of thousands upon thousands who are buried, many of them anonymously, far, far away from home. That soldier was later joined by the remains of an identified soldier from World War II and one from the Korean War, and for a time by an airman from the Vietnam War who was later identified and reinterred under his own name. And of course, this tomb is kept under constant solemn watch. The highest honor is given here at this tomb to those who lost everything, their lives and even their identities in the course of these wars. And that highest honor is given to those whose bodies never did come home. It's right and proper to commemorate a war with memorials to those on the front lines. It's a way to hold the ambiguity of war by lifting up its effects on the ordinary people who were called into service in those conflicts. Fame and glory come to the powerful men whose names we would remember anyway, but we remember the name of Robert E. Lee just as much as we remember the name of Dwight David Eisenhower. Fame is pretty ambiguous when you get down to it. But this monument to the unknowns, this is a way to honor those who served and who died without fanfare. And they present us an opportunity to pray for the day when we send no one to serve and die without fanfare. We're going to be reading from the book of Psalms over the next several weeks. And the scripture reading today invites us to attend to what is truly honorable. That first word in the psalm that we read, it was translated happy in our translation. That's a fine translation. The word honorable is a better translation. Honorable is something that we lift up as an example. What we honor is what we set in front of us so that we might become what it is we honor. And the Psalms begin with this set of verses. It's a wisdom psalm, really. It's an invitation to meditate on God's intentions, what it is God means for this world. And so we are invited to meditate on God's law, God's instruction, God's ways of having us live in the world. We are invited to sit under God's teaching as we read this psalm. And so it is truly honorable to meditate on God's intentions, to make the choices to build our lives in concert with what God wants for us and for the world. And that invitation to wisdom comes with a promise. It comes with the promise that living as God calls us to live will bring some kind of long-term endurance. Prosperity is the word we used. It's not prosperity in a material sense of wealth. It's the prosperity that is knowing that we have had an enduring positive value in the world. Wisdom is something that is borne out by history. It's something that we see as time moves along. We eventually see the results of the ways that we live. Wisdom is easier to see in hindsight than it is before we get there. It's easier to see in hindsight the effects of racism or misogyny or environmental destruction. It's easier to see in hindsight the ways that justice and education and care for the vulnerable lift up not just those who are in need, but the entire society. God gives us science and history and art and religion so that we might learn how to live in harmony with the world that God places us in. Wisdom calls us to learn and to practice the way that we should live in God's world. The psalm says it is honorable, it is enduring to delight in the Lord's instruction. It is honorable to practice justice, to decide rightly, especially for the poor and the oppressed. It is honorable to choose righteousness, to reflect God's faithful love in the world. It is honorable to live in faithfulness, submitting to God's lordship in all our lives, to obey God's command to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. It is honorable to accept Christ's grace that enfolds us, encircles us, and gives us life always and no matter what. The psalm invites us to memorialize these things, because these are the things that endure. So today, on this Memorial Day weekend, I want to memorialize faithfulness and righteousness and justice. I want to memorialize lives given in service, service for freedom and unity, lives given in service for defense from fascism, lives given in service in solidarity with comrades in arms. I want to memorialize sacrifices that are made for positive changes in the world, for justice on behalf of our neighbors in poverty everywhere, for a measure of racial and economic equality, even with so much work still to be done. I want to memorialize the sacrifices that are made for the possibility that everyone in need might have food and shelter and all that they require. And I want to memorialize victims of injustice, including the original inhabitants of this land, including today's victims who continue to suffer, because remembering itself is an act of justice. It is an act of faithfulness to God's covenant love for God's people. I want to memorialize all those whose lives taught us how to live in faithfulness to God. May their lives, their honorable, rich, exemplary lives, continue to yield fruit in us and in this world God loves so dearly. In Jesus' name, amen.